Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Alors que nous rêvions d'une nation libre, lorsque Franklin et Jefferson se réunissent à Philadelphie pour tracer la route vers la liberté et l'indépendance, ils savaient que s'ils échouaient, il finirait pendu au bout d'une corde britannique.
It's like the Bogart movie. We've been taken over by the fascists, and I feel like I'm running Rick's Cafe. No, I just thought about it. Michelle wears a Marie Antoinette dress, perhaps the most ungainly dress in the history of a first lady, that cost only $12,000, so that moments later Obama can talk about the 1% and how bad the poor have it in the country. $12,000 dress. $12,000 dress. Now, when Nixon was in power, I think when Pat bought a dress that cost $14 at Kresge's, the liberal media went crazy. This is frightening. But wait, it gets worse. Let's forget her sartorial innocence. Let us talk about the fact that the lowest possible human beings in the world were in the White House yesterday. How do you feel about Al Sharpton putting on a tuxedo and walking like he's a king in our people's house? How do you feel about this lowlife who slandered Detective Pagonis, who egged on the people who set Freddie's Fashion Mart on fire, who was done nothing but divide and, well, what shall I say to you? Do you think Al Sharpton got where he is because of his genius, because of his contributions to America, or because of his bullying and his thuggishness? And, you know, you can only say, well, birds of a feather. That's all you can say. Obama administration reports that 8 million uninsured Hispanics are eligible for health coverage. No kidding. He wants to insure all of Mexico so that you can pay for it, you moron. But I love about this, there's a certain delicious justice in the fact that the Prius-driving libs with the Obama bumper stickers are going to actually pay for the Mexicans' health coverage. See, there's the only justice in this. Meanwhile, the front runner to lead the North Carolina Democratic Party is a Nation of Islam member. Nation of Islam member. He's leading the Democratic Party. I always told you that the Democrats would become the fascists. I've been telling you that for 20 years. Do we have the soundbite of Louis Farrakhan? Where is that? Where is it? I don't see it. Well, I'll just play a little Louis Farrakhan to warm the crowd up here in the Savage Nation.
According to the history of the white race, they are guilty of making trouble, causing war among the people and themselves ever since they have been on our planet Earth. So the God of the righteous has found them disagreeable to live with in peace and has decided to remove them from the face of the earth.
So there's Louis Farrakhan, a friend of Obama, saying that the white race will be removed from the face of the earth. Now, if this is not domestic terrorism, can you tell me what is? Tell me what is domestic terrorism. Is this domestic terrorism? It gets even better. All of you liberals out there, there's such a delightful irony. All of you white liberals who voted in this psychotic president who's unleashed the worst vermin on the planet, in their verbal assaults upon white people, unlike I've never seen anything in my life. Can you imagine if a Ku Klux Klan lunatic started railing like this against black people, what would be said by the drug addicts at NBC? One after the other now comes out and says he was an alcoholic. The next one says he was a drug addict. Just as I told you, most of the media are drug addicts. Almost all of them are drug addicts or alcoholics. And now here's your friend Louis Farrakhan at clip 16.
God does not have to tell us that they are disagreeable to live with in peace. We already know it, for we are the victims of these troublemakers. Allah will fight this war for the sake of his people, the black people, the real children of Israel, and especially for the American so-called Negroes.
Now it gets even better. In 17, he hits a crescendo. You have to hear that one.
Time and again, we, the so-called American Negroes, will be the lucky ones. We are Allah's choice to give life, and we will be put on top of civilization. So peace can only come from a superior power, and I represent that power.
I'm speechless. If you don't hear the voice of a madman, Hitler couldn't have said it better than Louis Farrakhan. Farrakhan sounds like a black Hitler to me. The rhetoric is exactly that of Adolf Hitler in reverse. Only now, instead of being aimed at a race of people called the Jewish people, which is not really a race, it's a religion, but we won't go into that. Now Farrakhan is targeting an entire race. He's talking about genocide. And your government has a party for Mr. Hollande, the most unpopular president in the history of France, who raised taxes on the so-called rich to 75%, collapsed the economy in France. And as I say to you, it's going to get worse before it gets better. I don't know what I'm going to ask you to say. But if you didn't get your, if your heart didn't start beating when you heard Louis Farrakhan at clip 15, then you're a dead man who doesn't deserve to even have a nation. You shouldn't even be allowed to vote. I want to play clip 15 again. If your heart doesn't start to race over what Obama has unleashed in this nation through the puppets like Farrakhan, then you don't have any right to even vote in this country. Listen to clip 15.
According to the history of the white race, they are guilty of making trouble, causing war among the people and themselves ever since they have been on our planet Earth. So the God of the righteous has found them disagreeable to live with in peace and has decided to remove them from the face of the earth.
How do you feel as a white man being told that one of Obama's greatest supporters, Louis Farrakhan, has said that you have been selected to be removed from the earth, and your disgusting president holds a party with a first lady who buys a dress for $12,000 so he can rail against the 1%? I mean, how do you feel about this? Don't call me, because I know how you feel about it. I don't really care how you feel about it. I know how I feel. And all that matters is how I feel. How I feel is not disappointed, not agitated, but I got to tell you something. You better get ready for what I'm warning you is coming. I can smell it. I have a sixth sense about these things. I've rarely been wrong politically. When I have been wrong, I've corrected myself. I told you that for months I've been writing a book that'll be out in October. You know, you can't buy it. I'm not pitching a book. It's not anywhere that you can buy it, called Stop the Coming Civil War. Because as I stand here, and I pray to God I'm wrong, this evil administration is plotting something so terrible it's almost unimaginable. Why did they buy another 100 million rounds of hollow point bullets this week, put in another request, an RFP, for over something like 100 million hollow point rounds? The Homeland Department of Homeland Security needs hollow point bullets, which are banned by the Geneva Convention. They don't need those for target practice. Those of us who have guns usually buy target rounds, which are much cheaper. They're not hollow point. Why would they buy fully jacketed hollow point rounds that are used only in combat for domestic use? What are they planning to do with these weapons, with these bullets? What is Obama planning to do to you, the American people? When you hear Louis Farrakhan saying the white race is scheduled for elimination on the planet, and then you have an attorney general who the same day gives a speech saying that felons should be permitted to vote, and you have Obama saying, I'll do whatever I want, and you have a moron, like a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, Boehner, who walks out yesterday after raising the debt limit, completely caves in, he walks out whistling zippity-doo-dah. This is the opposition party. You should be ashamed of yourself if you're a Republican. I've gone back and forth on Boehner. This man needs to be removed and put into a psychiatric hospital. I want you to hear Boehner whistling. When someone asked him about why did you sign a debt increase like this, listen to him whistling zippity-doo-dah.
You're believing that zippity-doo-dah. What a wonderful day.
He's insane. okay, Boehner is an insane man. Boehner is on medication, or he's an alcoholic in my estimation. He is absolutely not fit for public office. If ever we needed a strong opposition party to stop this communist assault upon our freedoms and our very liberty, we need it now. Instead, we have a lunatic in the form of Boehner and the nonentity Cantor. We have no opposition whatsoever. Where is the opposition to this juggernaut in the White House and this racial hatred that's emanating across the country? Because, you see, there are consequences to this constant lecturing and harping upon the 1%. And then Farrakhan, the other puppet of Obama, says the white people will be eliminated. Why do you think that there are so many incidences of outbreaks of attacks upon white people in this country over the last few months, being swept under the rug by the fellow travelers in the media, the drug addicts in the media, the fellow travelers in the media? Every day you read of such assaults. Every day it's going on. There's a low-grade attack going on in this country on a daily basis. And while we slept, this is all going on. While we paid attention to Simon Cowell, Hollow Cowell, while we paid attention to America's Got Talent, while we paid attention to this other stuff coming out of the sewer pipe of Hollywood. 855-407-2282 is my phone number. It's the Savage Nation. That's the good news, by the way. What I've given you so far is the good news of the day. I haven't yet given you the bad news, which I will do when I come back right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
Many states, felony disenfranchisement laws are still on the books. And the current scope of these policies is not only too significant to ignore, it is also too unjust to tolerate. These laws deserve to be not only reconsidered, but repealed.
Okay, so Louis Farrakhan says the white race should disappear from his nation, live off the face of the earth. We played that. The same day, your attorney general, another African-American gentleman named Eric Holder, says that all felons should be permitted to vote. The very same day, your president, the first black president, Barack Obama, has a shindig in the White House that costs $500,000. His wife buys a dress for $12,000, and not a word is said by the drug addicts at NBC. Not a word. Not one word from the drug addicts at NBC News. Not one word. Pat Nixon wore anything but a wool dress. They went insane. So if you looked at what I mean by liberal, we're not talking about liberals anymore. We're talking about fanatic, drug-addicted, psychotic. I don't want to build anymore. I don't want to build it up. I can't build it up. There's not much more I could say. Think of Woody Allen running a child refuge for young children. Think of Woody Allen running a refuge for children saying, I never hurt a child, I never would touch a child. That's like Obama in the White House in a strange way, saying that I'm out for the working man while having dinners that cost $500,000. How do you believe a word these people say? And so what is my job here on the radio? What is my job? Think about it. What is my job? Well, okay, it's a couple of things. One is to be a watchdog for you, not a lapdog of them. My job is to say, wait a minute, you can't do this and get away with it. Here in the Bay Area, for example, Willie Brown, a man with clouds over his head ever since he was a politician in Sacramento. They just named a bridge span for him. And you want to hear that of life imitating art or art imitating life? They just named a bridge span for him that cost billions of dollars. It ran God knows how many times over cost estimates. The bridge is rusting. The new screws in the bridge are emitting a brown rust, and the bridge is named for Willie Brown. Think about the fitting symbolism of this, a bridge rotting before it's almost even finished. Named for a questionable member of the Democrat machine here in the state of California. Think about this. Think about it. The next time you go into a voting booth, the level of corruption in San Francisco is the worst in the nation, and yet there's never been hasn't been an arrest in 30 years. They own this town. From lock to stock to barrel, they own it. Mayor Nagin in New Orleans was just indicted today for corruption. Mayor Nagin, remember him? The big screaming about racism and Katrina and Bush. He had his hand out. He was stuffing his pockets. And the feds got him on corruption. There's not been a corruption arrest in San Francisco in 35 to 40 years. How is that possible? What's the difference between New Orleans and San Francisco? Is there no federal presence here? Does anyone not look at these things, a bridge that costs this much money that's falling apart? No one looks into these things? The highway contracts for the new tunnel coming out of the Golden Gate Bridge, who got those contracts? Are they related in any way to any politicians? You know, ask the questions. You'll get the answers, but no one's even asking the questions. Oh, let's go back to the other topics that we can, let's say, talk about with some certainty. On WMAL in Washington, D.C., Bill, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael, it's an honor to talk to you. I've been listening to you since the 90s, and you are straightforward. You tell the truth, and the truth needs to get out. Now, I want to tell you, you were talking about the hollow point ammunition. I'm a federal officer with Department of Homeland Security, and part of the reason those rounds were purchased was we have to qualify with our weapons every quarter. So that's four times a year. And
right. Bill, I understand, but why are you practicing with hollow points rather than target ammo?
That is a good question that I don't know. That's our duty ammo that we carry. So
no, I understand, but if I go to the range to qualify, I use target ammo inside a range. I don't use hollow point ammo. First of all, it's more expensive. But second of all, what's the point of it? You and I know what hollow point ammunition does inside a human body, Bill.
Oh, yes. It definitely tears you up.
Are you aware that DHS just solicited for 141,000 rounds of Hornady .308 Winchester 168 grain AMAX tap ammunition? It's known as Zombie Max.
Yeah.
It's long-range target ammunition. Why would Homeland Security need ammunition for target rounds? I don't understand it. I can only ask the questions.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Well, first of all, I love the dress on her because I think it's so elegant. It's so simple. I mean, that shape is what we call the princess shape. It's got that sort of poof at the bottom, but it's very sort of billowy at the same time. It's strapless. I think we want to call that French blue, maybe, to tie
yeah,
in the evening.
French slate or something, but definitely.
I think some people might call it periwinkle. And it's
you
got this sort of jet bodice and everything, and I think
yeah.
It's really
go
pretty.
Back.
But
crawl back
like
under
that
rock.
Mrs. Herrera could potentially run up to almost $10,000.
Oh, shut up. That's the press today. There's NBC at work. Lisping over Michelle's dress. $12,000 dress. Eating snail. I don't think they had escargot. That is the most disgusting food item on the planet. If I was doing a segment of Survivor Man, I wouldn't eat a snail. It's like lifting a rock. Why do the French eat that garbage? A slimy, slithering creature. It's just too rich with potential. I'll let that go. Here's some good news. Remember years ago in 09 how incensed I became over the false conviction of Army Ranger Lieutenant Michael Behena, an American hero? This happened under Bush. This is when I stopped liking Bush. This is when I warned you Bush was not who you thought he was. This is when I warned you Bush would wreck America. This is when I started telling you that Bush might be a fiscal socialist. This is when I warned you he wasn't finished yet. On March 20th, he was sentenced to 25 years in prison. Now, I think Obama was already president by then, but it started under Bush. Lieutenant Behena was sentenced to 25 years in prison for killing a known al-Qaeda operative while serving in Iraq. I was sick over this. He was given a kangaroo court trial, and seven officers from the military, none of whom had combat experience, convicted Lieutenant Behena of premeditated murder and assault. He was convicted and sent away for jail at Fort Leavenworth. Remember what I tried to do for him? Remember how much money I gave and you gave? You want to hear the news? He was just scheduled for release on the 14th. Is that when he's being released? In a few days, he'll be released. It's a miracle. It's as though God answered our prayers and his prayers. Here is a man, one of the best that America has ever produced. And one of the best. His mother is an assistant U.S. attorney. Father, a retired special agent with the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation. He served in the Army with honor and dignity. And he was put away for killing an unknown terrorist who lunged at him during interrogation. And now he's going to be free because of you. Apparently, you helped correct this terrible wrong against this loyal American, and we'll have much more to say about it. I hope we can have Lieutenant Behenna on the show first, but I wouldn't count on it. My suspicion and my knowledge of how things work in the media is that the minute someone I've helped gets out, they usually stab me in the back and go to someone else. But all right, I don't care. I do it for the sake of what's right, not for the for the 2 seconds of ratings fame. I don't need the 2 seconds of ratings fame. Leave that to old Banger. I mean, without that, he'd have no show at all. 855-407-2822. 855-407-2822. Now, I want to ask you something. The felon thing. Did you hear that your attorney general wants to give felons a right to vote? Play a different one of him wanting them to vote. This is an obvious one.
I call upon state leaders and other elected officials across this country to pass clear and consistent reforms to restore the voting rights of all who have served their terms in prison or jail, completed their parole or probation, and paid their fines.
Now, do you know what case your attorney general is basing this upon? Farrakhan versus Gregoire. So he's working hand in glove with Louis Farrakhan to make sure that ex-felons can vote. So you want to know where Obama's private army may come from? Better funded than the U.S. military? Better equipped than the U.S. military that we were warned about in 2007? I think you could pretty much put two and two together. I see the circle closing. So are you in favor of having ex-felons vote? There's two sides to this story. One side says, let's see. We let ex-convicts marry, reproduce, buy beer, own property, and drive. They don't lose their freedom of religion, their right against self-incrimination, or their right not to have soldiers quartered in their homes in time of war. But in many places, the assumption is that they can't be trusted to help choose our leaders. If we thought criminals could never be reformed, we wouldn't let them out of prison in the first place, says Steve Chapman, editorial writer at the Chicago Tribune. On the other side, Roger Clegg, General Counsel of the Center for Equal Opportunity, says, we don't let children vote, for instance, or non-citizens, or the mentally incompetent. Why? Because we don't trust them in their judgment. So the question is, do criminals belong in that category? And I think the answer is clearly yes. People who commit serious crimes have shown that they are not trustworthy. Now, Farrakhan sued to get felons to vote. That, now, you can see the connection between Farrakhan, who says that God is going to, he's going to remove them, he's going to remove white people from the face of the earth. And now you have the top lawyer in America saying that felons should have the right to vote. Maybe they will vote against you. Maybe they'll vote to have you eliminated from the face of the earth. What do you think about this? Do you think ex-felons should be permitted to vote? Now, we didn't say voting in prison, did we? Or is that how far Obama must reach? Is that how low he has to reach now, is to go into prisons to get the vote? It's like the Bastille next. I mean, now that he has the French president there, maybe he'll open the Bastille and the streets will be flooded with criminals. Maybe he can arm them on the way out. Instead of giving them a $200 check, he can give them a Glock with a full day of ammunition. So what do you think about that? How about felon disenfranchisement law? Felon disenfranchisement laws. How do you feel about that? Do you think they should be able to vote? Do you think they should be able to vote while in prison? Why not go to the next level of saying felons should be able to vote in prisons? Why not? I mean, where do you think the Democrats are going to get their voter base from in 2014? They have to turn somewhere. They've exploited as many Mexican illegals as they can. They've mined that well. So what's left now? The prisons. There's 1.2 million people in prison. Think about that. That could change the course of our nation. If all of them could vote for a Democrat, that would be great. It would be the taking of Pelham 1-2-3. At least that's it now. Oh, someone remembers the Behenna case. Hey, Patrick on KSFO. You remember the Behenna case, huh?
Yeah, I remember you covering that. And my first thought of, I tried to call in back then, was, I remember the line from Apocalypse Now, when he's Martin Sheen's going in to get Captain Kirk, and he has a, one of my favorite lines in the movie goes, charging with someone with murder over here was like handing out speeding tickets at the Indy 500.
Yeah, well, Behenna is an American hero who was kangaroo-corded into this prison at Fort Leavenworth. By the way, he was housed in one of the most antiquated prisons in America, while the Islamo-fascists are given the equivalent of a college dormitory. One of our American heroes was thrown into a dungeon.
Oh, exactly.
That's so. Yeah, that's your government at work. They took an American hero, an Army Ranger, and threw him into a dungeon at Fort Leavenworth, while the Islamo-fascists get ethnic meals and Korans and this and everything special for them.
Oh, and soccer fields. And it's,
well,
yeah.
You don't want them to get frustrated. You don't want the Islamo-fascists to get... Here's some other good news on the Savage Nation. I gave you one piece of good news, okay, which is that Behenna's free. Free at last, free at last, free at last. And you had something to do with it. You had something to do with it. If you donated money to his fund, as I did, as you did, I mean, we sent probably hundreds of grand to that fund. I don't know. We're going to try and get his wife on the show as soon as possible. Neil, why don't you try to get her on during the show since we're talking about it? This is an amazing story. I don't know how they got him out. I don't know how this happened under Obama. Here's some good news for you. Obama turnout machine crashes in San Diego, loses mayor's race by 9 points. This is a huge story. It portends what's coming in 2014 unless the criminal administration floods America with illegal aliens or, again, rigs the election through the voting machines. Are you ready? A Republican recaptured the mayor's office in San Diego in a special election just yesterday. Now, what's interesting about this story is that the polls were skin tight leading into yesterday's election, and unions, the corrupt unions, poured millions to keep control in the nation's eighth largest city, but they lost. The unions poured in $4.5 million to promote Mr. Alvarez, who in an earlier poll only a few days ago, Alvarez was ahead by 9 points. And by the way, this is a city that Barry Obama carried by 63-37 15 months ago. I think you should remember what I just said to you. San Diego was carried by Obama 63-37 only 15 months ago, right? Okay, so now you have a clone of the Democrat socialist corrupt machine, David Alvarez, backed by the unions. They put in $4.2 million to promote Alvarez. The Republicans, the evil white male Republican, has only $1.7 million to run. The evil white male has half the money that the sanctified minority had. The sanctified minority, Alvarez, outspent the evil white Republican by about 50%. And take a guess what happens. The Republican won yesterday in a blowout, 9 points. You hear this? So a progressive got stomped on in a clear vote. They stomped on a progressive who ran on income inequality, raising the minimum wage, more housing projects for the undeserving, demanding that voters approve the sale of bonds to fund infrastructure projects, while the Republican opposed to all of the above, and, well, he was very, very fiscally conservative. So the National Review is saying the Republicans' win in San Diego yesterday breathes new life into what has been a moribund Republican Party in California and shows that the Obama turnout machine isn't invincible without a presidential-level turnout. That's a valuable lesson as we head into the 2014 midterm elections. Yes, but remember what Obama's seeking to do. Remember what Holder is seeking to do. They're seeking to make certain that felons can vote, illegal aliens can vote, and anyone but the legitimate tax-paying citizen can vote. By the way, as a side note to this fiscal conservative story, Canada is heading for a balanced budget because of a conservative government. They're cutting back on payments for these huge, huge, stupid boondoggles of the type that Nancy Pelosi likes, of the type that Dianne Feinstein specializes in and wallows in, of the type that Obama specializes in. Let them eat cake. Let them eat snails. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. The time right now, as you well know, if you have a watch, is 45 minutes after the hour. Let's go to Yuri on WABC. Yuri, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, it's a pleasure. I'm calling about 7 blocks from where you grew up on Utopia Parkway.
Oh, I have to ask you about that in a minute. What's the real topic?
Topic is Manhattan. I remember when you had, I believe it was, you said his wife. I didn't recall whether it was his wife or his mother.
Vicky Behenna was on the show many times.
Right, and thanked you from the bottom of the heart.
Yeah, but I can guarantee you as I sit here, you know, the first interview they're going to give is not going to be to me. No, you know it's coming. I know how it works. But, yeah, it's okay. I'm used to it by now. It doesn't even hurt anymore. I'm insulated from it. So look, it's a victory for the truth and for honor and for dignity. That's all that matters to me. I don't need him on the show. I'd like to have him. Okay. They want to go to Bangor. I don't care. Let him enjoy him. Let the Bangor wrap his arms around him like he did it. What do I care? That phony's been doing it his whole life, so let him do it again. Yuri, where are you in Flushing, New York right now?
By sort of Queens College. I graduated from there. I know the morgue from where you speak of.
The morgue? You know the morgue at the hospital? That big, horrible building with the red bricks?
That's right. I passed.
I worked in that morgue. It shaped a very, very big part of my future. It freaked me out. I was a mortuary assistant for one night when I came back from Europe. You know, I went to Europe to be a poet and a writer, whatever. I came back absolutely flat broke. I didn't have a dime in my pocket. The first job I took was in a mortuary. It was so horrible. I wrote about it, but my God, it really put a shock through my system.
I can imagine. I got to ask you one question, if you'll let me, about your house, because I also sold real estate in the area.
No, it's not for sale. My mother sold it 40 years ago. I'm sorry, I can't give you a lead.
Oh.
I'm joking. What's the question?
No. Well, did you have red and black asbestos tiles with the oak bar?
Well, the address was 73-10 Utopia Parkway, Flushing, New York, 11366. There was a bus stop right on the corner.
Yeah.
I can still hear the windows rattling in my little house. It's like out of an English movie from the 1950s, like a mill town. You know, I mean, I loved it. I used to love to go to those black and white movies in the Mayflower Theater, set in the 1950s of the boys who grew up in those attached brick houses, because I was one of them. I mean, the bus would go by, the windows would rattle at night. I loved it. Now I sleep in a place that's so quiet I can't sleep at all. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. I hope they don't start putting flowers and balloons on that address. There's probably some poor Chinese family living there in my old boyhood home. I never wrote anything. I wrote my first few, you know, kind of wanderlust stories in that little house, but what if they go there now that they know the address of my original dwelling, 7310 Utopia Park? I know my mother, when she left, God rest her soul, she moved out of New York. She sold the house to a Chinese family. I think that's who lives there. They wouldn't even know that people start showing up with balloons and flowers. They'll call 911. Secondly, I'm still living. What if they turn it into a shrine, though? What if they start turning my boyhood home into a shrine? Be crazy. Get some listeners from New York. They show up every day like in a vigil. I wrote some pretty bad stories in that porch. What a house. Attached house, brick. Here we are. Look, birds of a feather. Obama, Sharpton, and Farrakhan in our people's house. Amazing what the world. You know, you don't want to believe it, all right? I told you we've had a revolution, but you don't want to accept it. Because, you see, you were so brainwashed. You thought that when a revolution would come, it would be through shooting. You thought there'd be a war, and then after the war, the country would be flooded with foreigners. You thought that after the war, criminal gangsters would be invited into the White House wearing tuxedos. You thought that people like Harvey Weinstein, who extolled violence and filth, would never be invited into the White House until a revolution occurred. You thought that all of the things that are happening, debt limits would be increased, would only happen after a revolution would be fought and lost by the American people. You thought that the military would be debased and deballed after the revolution. But you don't understand that all of this is happening, and there's been not a single shot fired.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I call upon state leaders and other elected officials across this country to pass clear and consistent reforms to restore the voting rights of all who have served their terms in prison or jail, completed their parole or probation, and paid their fines.
According to the history of the white race, they are guilty of making trouble, causing war among the people and themselves ever since they have been on our planet Earth. So the God of the righteous has found them disagreeable to live with in peace and has decided to remove them from the face of the earth.
Okay, and that's not domestic terrorism. Oh, it's the First Amendment. It's the First Amendment. I mean, you have Louis Farrakhan on the same day that the Attorney General says that felons should be able to vote. You have Louis Farrakhan saying that white people will be removed from the face of the earth. So Holder says state laws that bar felons from voting are too unjust to tolerate. And he said, we have to get rid of these laws and overturn them. To join us in bringing about the end of misguided policies that unjustly restrict what's been called the most basic right of American citizenship. Well, if he cares so much about the basic right of American citizenship, which is voting, then why doesn't he uphold voter ID laws to make certain that those who are not qualified to vote, vote? So you know he's a liar on that. But he said such outdated laws have a disparate impact on minority communities. So once again, he reverts back to what got him where he is, which is affirmative action. And he calls this a so-called civil rights issue. Now, here's the numbers. Of the 5.8 million Americans who cannot vote because of current or previous felony convictions, 2.2 million are black, Holder noted. So that's interesting. I mean, is that 30%? It's not as high as you may think, so it's not really about them. So do you really want, let's put black and white aside. Let's put black and white aside for a minute. Let's not let them race bait us anymore. That's what they got. That's how they got where they are. That's how they stay in power, and that's how they continue to hold power, which is race baiting. But let's put aside their despicable innuendo here that it's always about race. Let's put race aside. Do you think that felons should be able to vote? Really, that's a whole separate question. By the way, there are arguments on both sides of this issue. What if you committed a felony, went to jail for a year? Do you think you should never vote again after you've served your time? I mean, let's put it in that context. Coming from Holder, you want to vote against anything he wants because you know it's all about making certain that the communist socialists continue to win. But putting aside this despicable human being where he sees everything through a racial lens, put him aside. Let's go to the bigger question. Should the social contract permit ex-felons to vote? Yes or no? I think it's a great question. I think that everyone out there should vote on this. I mean, should have to speak on this. Because we have to understand whether this is a sentimental question or in cold calculation, what is the right thing to do? You know that most felons will come out and vote for anyone who promises them benefits. The same way illegal aliens continue to vote for Democrats, like to, 90th or more percentile. Why should they not vote for someone who gives them something for nothing? So what would you say? I mean, it's an interesting question. You don't have to do it if you don't want. There are other topics. I don't know what's as interesting. Michelle's dress is an interesting topic. I could ask you how you feel about that nauseating image of her wearing a $12,000 dress while her old man continues to harp on the 1% and the inequality, blah, 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 every day, inequality, 1%. Were there any non-1%ers at the dinner? Let's see the list. Let's see if he had any homeless people there at the dinner. Let's see. He had Al Sharpton. Aren't you proud of that? Doesn't that show keen judgment on the part of Barack Obama to invite Al Sharpton to the White House in a tuxedo? Included there were director J.J. Abrams, never heard of him, HBO's Richard Plepler, the man who gives us the programming that you love to hate, Comcast's David L. Cohen, actress Julia Louis-Dreyfus. She hasn't done a movie since Nixon was buried. Tennis Chanel's Ken Solomon and singer Mary J. Blige. I don't know who she is. I really don't. Among the expected, also there was Bradley Cooper. I don't know who he is. Viacom's Philippe Dowman, producer Ken Ehrlich, actress Mindy Kaling, and CNN's Jeff Zucker. He's doing great in the ratings department, isn't he? Blah, 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 blah. Also on the list, Edie Windsor, the plaintiff in the legal challenge that ended with the Supreme Court striking down a key part of the Defense of Marriage Act. Oh, another gay thing, of course. You have to have that there. What else? Colbert, the guy who reads other people's lines. And, of course, First Lady Michelle Obama wearing a $12,000 dress. And it was all in honor of this lowlife from France, the most hated man in the presidency in France in 100 years. The most despised and hated man, a loser of the lowest order. Birds of a feather, that's all. What a dress. I don't want to go into it because I'll be accused of misogyny. I'm not an expert on women's fashions, but this one takes the cake. I mean, I put it on my website. I said, Michelle Obama pulls a Marie Antoinette. It's so unbelievably gauche in the sense that it looks like over-the-top French. It's like over-the-top French. You know what I'm saying? Can't she do anything demure? Why must everything be over the top with her? Am I not allowed to talk about that because it's the president's wife? Do you find it offensive? That you'll find more offensive than Al-Qaeda blowing up a synagogue or a church. Unbelievable to me. Whatever, don't call about the dress. A Carolyn Herrera gown. Worn in the state, honor of the state dinner for French President Francois Hollande. You know what I missed, really, what I was looking forward to was John Kerry's wife speaking in tongues. She was so much fun in her heyday. We haven't heard a word from her, by the way. You know, John Kerry has a wife who speaks six languages, and years ago she used to evidence her abilities in these languages, but it became such a laughing stock. Where is she? I hope she's still well. The ketchup woman. The woman who put him in the big money. Guests included the gay basketball player and his lover. Unbelievable. Al Sharpton. How many real Americans were invited to the dinner? How is that possible? I'm surprised you don't get nauseated by this. Where was Harvey Weinstein? Why wasn't he invited? I'm offended. Because he's the king of the Jewish people, and he should have been there. I mean, representing... Why was Harvey Weinstein not there? I don't understand. He's been there before. Could it be because I mocked him and said he only went there so the Obamas could laugh at him behind his back? They dress him up like an ape in a tuxedo to see that he doesn't crack a wine glass when drinking from it. He doesn't break a dinner plate while holding it. But they never invited him since. I really hope to God that I had nothing to do with Weinstein not being invited again. Why wouldn't they have invited him? He's not on the list. I have the list in front of me. Let's not go through the menu. It's absurd. She lectures you on healthy food and they eat poison. Dreck, garbage. The richest, most fattening crap you could ever imagine. Sugar and carbs, all garbage. And every day she gives you a lecture like him on the 1% and inequality. And she lectures you on eat carrots and take a look at the garbage they ate yesterday. What a hypocrite. Ugh. Republicans surrender and debt healing. Debt ceiling hike. I almost did a dyslexia job. Republicans surrender in debt ceiling. I'm joking. I'm playing with. Did you ever play with dyslexia? You know, it's not funny. You can get trapped in it and never get out of it. It's like a sand trap. Like in your car, you have a seat heater, right? I know someone, brilliant, brilliant person. Every time she gets in the car, she's put on the heat seater. I have to say it's a seat heater. And I have to catch myself. Because you let that go by, you'll start talking in tongues, too. You'll sound like Mrs. Kerry on Banana Splits. Here's a survey. U.S. press freedom plunges under Obama to the 46th in the world after Romania. And you liberals, you thought Obama was going to bring... yeah, it's laughable. It's laughable, isn't it? The U.S. under President Obama has fallen to the 46th in press freedom. And this is according to a left-wing fanatic group, Reporters Without Borders, which analyzed 180 countries on criteria such as official abuse, Obama, media independence, none, and infrastructure to determine how free journalists ought to report. We're now below Romania. That's that's astounding. You want to hear the list? Are we above Saudi Arabia? I prayed. I had the list before. I got to look at the list now. I'm terrified where we actually stand. No, I don't have the list. Where is that list? I had the list. I was going to read it because it was unbelievably embarrassing. You know what's very interesting is that as the ability of our students to read and to write and to add drops, so does our press freedom go down on the list under Obama. That's interesting. Here's another story I didn't get to yet. I'm saving the best for last because I wanted to get... I had to save this story. It's so nauseating and so ugly that I couldn't even read it to you, okay? Remember there was a feminist by the name of Germaine Greer, another one of the whack jobs that sent so many millions of women on the wrong path, okay? In England, they've launched... The English government is so incensed at what she wrote that they're actually trying to censor her. She came out and she said that female circumcision is to be respected. She said attempts to outlaw female mutilation is an attack on cultural identity, adding that one man's beautification is another man's mutilation. This is in spite of the fact that the World Health Organization says that between 85 and 115 million women worldwide had undergone some form of genital mutilation, which doubles their risk of dying in childbirth and can increase by 3 to 4 times the chances their children will be stillborn. So this lunatic throwback left-wing feminist comes out and says female circumcision is good and that anyone who attacks is attacking the cultural identity of Muslims, basically. So the MPs in England are going crazy. They say that Germaine Greer's report takes no account of the purposes of female genital mutilation, nor the lack of choice for those young girls on whom it is inflicted. They go on. And they say this, equating the forcible clitoridectomy of an 8-year-old girl with the voluntary body piercing of an American teenager is absurd. Culture, they say, can no longer be used as an excuse for inaction or securing women's rights, the MPs concluded. Now, there are many women's organizations that have tried to abolish this throwback Muslim practice because it mutilates girls for life. It's super painful. And the estimated percentage of girls and women circumcised by country include Somalia. 98% of the girls are sexually abused with this practice by the throwback medieval lunatics who do it to them. Eritrea, Ethiopia, and Sierra Leone, 90% of the poor girls are mutilated such. Sudan, 89% of the Muslim girls are mutilated in this practice. Mali, 75% in this throwback practice, etc. It's sickening. It's sickening enough that 15th century throwbacks and dirty headscarves would force this upon young girls, okay? And a lot of progress has been made to try to stop this practice, this barbaric practice, right? Now along comes this throwback feminist, so to speak, who destroyed the minds of millions of women, in my estimation, and she comes out defending that practice. How can any woman call herself a feminist after this? How? How do you not understand that I was so right for all these years I've been on radio, and even before it. I went on radio because I was incensed 20 years prior to going on radio. I was incensed at what they were doing to this country. I wrote 8 New York Times bestsellers, incidentally. 8 New York Times bestsellers. You cannot take that away from me. You're going to say everyone who bought the book is an idiot? Do so at your own risk and your own stupidity. 8 New York Times bestsellers. I've written over 28 books in total, maybe more. I don't know. I don't give you. But the point is, I saw what these people were doing, just as I see what Obama and Holder are doing. I see it all. God sees the truth but waits. I see the truth and speak. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
So today I'm issuing an executive order requiring federal contractors to pay their employees a fair wage of at least $10.10 an hour.
Let them eat snails. Let them eat snails. I'm surprised that Michelle Obama didn't organize some sort of can-can review for Hollande. He's got quite the roving eye, according to the news media. Oh, look at this news story. Ex-New Orleans mayor found guilty of corruption. Cyril Nagin guilty of accepting payoffs for city contracts. That's business as usual here in San Francisco. I don't know how they indict. In New Orleans is allegedly the most corrupt city in America, right? Even there they indict people. No one's ever indicted in San Francisco for anything. You got bridges falling apart that cost billions of dollars in cost overruns, and they sell them bolts. Bolts that are rusting. And nobody's investigating. Zero. I don't understand it. It's almost like San Francisco lives in its own universe. Play the can-can music. With multiple witnesses and an extensive paper trail, federal prosecutors describe the sequence of transactions between the mayor and various business interests. The owner of a company would be trying to get city work and would at some point make contact with Mr. Nagin. Mr. Nagin would ask for a favor, often in the form of payments to the granite countertop business Mr. Nagin ran with his two sons. Sometimes the perk for Mr. Nagin would be less direct, a trip to Jamaica or Hawaii or Chicago, or free shipments of valuable granite slabs. Then the business owner would be awarded contracts for city projects. That's how it's done in the third world, so that's how it was done in New Orleans, and he was indicted. It doesn't happen in San Francisco, though. You see, the bridge in San Francisco that's rusting before it's even finished, before they cut the ribbon on it, it's rusting already. The bolts that cost $180 million to replace are rusting. There's been no investigation. Because in the, you see, here's the reason you got to understand why there should not be an investigation in the San Francisco corruption. Because A, there's no corruption. In a perfect world of socialism, there cannot be any corruption. And since it's a one-party system in the city of San Francisco, there is no corruption. You understand what I'm saying? Socialists cannot be corrupt by definition. And so therefore, there's no reason for an investigation. Now let's say you would find a paper trail of kickbacks to a city official for contracts for the bridge. I didn't say there are, but let's say you did. You'd have to dismiss them as the work of some evil white male Republican who constructed these false invoices in order to embarrass this progressive, inclusive city and to bring them to their knees. So there is no corruption in San Francisco. It's all a figment of your imagination. The bolts are rusting because a white male probably made them.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage. On Talk 560,
KSFO. Remember Orwell's book? Remember when you read it in high school, how impressed you were with it? Freedom is slavery, slavery is freedom, war is peace. Remember all of that? Well, you thought it wouldn't happen. Well, it's happening right now under Obama. For example, he says he'd have the most, transparent administration in history. Well, according to the Journalists Without Borders, a very left-wing group, we are number, 32 in press freedom. It's slipped enormously under this gangster regime. Do you know that there's more press freedom in the following nations than the United States under this gangster regime? Suriname, Ghana, Portugal, Uruguay, Cape Verde, Cyprus, Slovakia. Poland, an ex-communist nation, has far more press freedom than we do. Namibia, Costa Rica. I'm reading countries that have far higher on the list of press freedom than your Obama nation, the abomination he's created. I mean, you'd expect this under a dictatorship, right? Well, you have it under the abomination that we're living through. Now put it on a bumper sticker and say you invented it. Go and have a beef stew dinner on me. Go ahead, enjoy yourself. The only countries below us, we're number 32 now under the abomination, is Lithuania, Slovenia, Spain. France has lower press freedom. See, another socialist nation where they don't let the press talk about this creep visiting this country, polluting our nation with this filth from France. What is he? He's a low-life. This guy was a low-life provincial deputy, socialist of the lowest order, and he bootstrapped himself all of a sudden into a premier of France. Da, 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 da. I keep saying, I feel like Rick. I feel like Rick in the movie. What is that movie that I talked about before? I can't remember it anymore. The Bogart movie. Yeah, the famous movie where it's taken over by the Nazis. Casablanca. I feel like Rick in Rick's Cafe here on the Savage Nation. You see that the fascists have taken over the whole city, and I'm still trying to run the Cafe Savage. Here, Trinidad, Malta, Samoa is lower on the list than us. Haiti is lower on the list. How come Sean Penn isn't spending any more time in Haiti? Play it again, Savage. Japan. Japan is lower? You know they're a little fascistic. They still have those instincts, huh? They're way down in Japan. 53. It's near the generals of Argentina, near Moldova. Where's Moldova? Hungary is number 56. Hungary, where the Hungarians live. Italy's 57. What do you expect, mafia-ridden nation? They have to crack down on everything. You can't tell. Senegal, 59. Sierra Leone, 61. Mauritius. Serbia, 63. Croatia, 64. Are you in Tonga? Yeah? Tonga, number 66 in press freedom. That's a laugh. I spent time in Tonga. Press freedom. Forget about it. Unless you're reporting something good about the king, you wind up in a ditch like a poll person. I remember when I learned about that when I was all those years as an anthropologist. There were people who came from families that were known as post people. I never could believe it. In the ancestral history, like a generation before I got there, guy would tell me he came from a low caste family. They were known as pole people. I was like, what's a pole person? They'd look at you right in the eye. Actually, it was in Fiji. They said, well, if you're born into this caste of people in Fiji, when they're building a house for a prince or for one of the royalty in Fiji, they would dig the post holes, and for good luck, they'd throw you into the hole alive, bound up, and then put the post over you and bury it with rocks. That was for good luck, to give the post a little starter fertilizer. And you say that the missionaries didn't bring beauty to... See, you don't even understand what you're talking about. Your history is so upside down. The missionaries stopped that practice. Maybe Germaine Greer and the feminists can now write that being a pole person is a cultural advantage, that we're looking upon it from a white man's viewpoint, that it's no different than our own practices, that we should permit people to become pole people again. Their whole family should be thrown into, because that's their cultural identity. Play it again, Savage. Do you have any of that Sam stuff? Play it again, Sam. Is there any music or sound from it? Madagascar, number 88. Seychelles, 93. Seychelles, sorry. Seychelles like seashells in another language. Let's see the bottom of the list, then I'll move on. Peru, 105. Fiji, 107, dictatorship. How do you think they give the water away? I mean, I drink this. How do they take all that water out of the water table, the aquifer of Fiji? How do the people not revolt? Answer, dictatorship. They're taking it out like in barges. The entire water table is being depleted out of Fiji, in my estimation. Where does that water come from? How does it get replenished? They'll tell, oh, don't worry about it. It'll keep replenishing itself. There's no such thing as a finite amount of anything on this planet except corruption and greed and hatred. Israel's 112. They rate Israel 112. UAE 114. Nepal 118. You ever eat Nepalese cuisine? See, I name the nation like images come to you. It's the funniest thing. How could you remember everything? You're a human being, so you have to have... You don't understand why I'm pictographic. It's a way of sorting and remembering. That's why I have a photographic memory and a steel trap for a mind. I have a way of sorting and memorizing. So if I say Nepal, I get an image. I'm not going to tell you what the image is because it's a family show and I'm joking. If I say Venezuela, image. Republic of Macedonia, image. Nigeria, image. Algeria, image. A bad movie I saw in the 1950s with like guys smoking cigarettes and setting off bombs in French shops. Ukraine, women who look like Stalin's housewife. You would think I would think of beautiful Ukrainian women. No, I think of Stalin's housewife with a babushka and a varenika. Angola, I think of the Beatles. I don't know why. I think they did a concert. No, Libya. When you say Libya, what do you think of when you say Libya? You know, like desert warfare, Montgomery, Rommel. I mean, what do you, when you say Libya? What do you get? What image do you get? Gaddafi screaming for his life and Hillary laughing, saying, we came, we saw, he died. I mean, what do you think of when you think of Libya? Jordan, 134 on the press freedom list. What image do you get when you say Jordan? Jordan. Like, say, sneakers? No, I'm not talking about a game here. Jordan, say, the king of Jordan. And the wife, I think she's from Brooklyn. I don't know where the wife, pretty girl. Chicago, whatever. Thailand, food poisoning. Morocco, hashish. Hashish on a hot roof, Morocco. Tunisia, more hashish on a hot roof. Indonesia, the slaughter of Christians. The slaughter of Chinese Christians by the communists. India. What's the first image you say? India. What? Ganges? Gandhi? What comes to your mind when you say India? I think of a curry place I know off the highway where the buffet is. That's like a new replacement. Let's see. Cambodia. Pol Pot. Obama's mentor. Bangladesh. The Beatles. Malaysia. Death penalty for drug use. Philippines. I can't say it's a family show. Russia. What image comes to you when you say Russia? Skating. No, do you see ice skating? When you say Russia, you see like ice skating. You see, what's his name? What's the president of Russia? I sort of got Putin. You see Putin like with a tiger, with a Siberian tiger, like riding the tiger with a photoshopped image of him on a tiger or something. He has a body double, they say now. Singapore, no image. Burma, the Burma Road. Gambia, Mexico, illegal voting. Turkey, Fez. Swaziland, spear. Azerbaijan, oil. Belarus, Varenica. Egypt, pyramids. Pakistan, hatred. Kazakhstan, bombs. Rwanda, machetes. Sri Lanka, I have an image. Oh, the Tamil tiger. Sri Lanka, Tamil tigers. Saudi Arabia, corruption and sand. Uzbekistan, nuclear weapons that are being sold under the table. Djibouti, blank. Laos, the worst cuisine in South Asia. Yemen, a bad movie. Sudan, sand. Cuba, death. Vietnam, death. China, death and good Chinese food. Iran, dictatorship. Somalia, female clitorectomies. Syria, death. North Korea, well, you get the picture. I don't know what you think of. Like, when I say those words, you have to have an image come to your mind. The point is that you listen to me in Press Freedom Index 2013 under your friend, the dictator Obama, the little dictator Obama. We're now number 38. I want to get it exactly right. We're now number 32. We're right below Suriname. Ghana has more press freedom than we do. How could Uruguay have more press freedom than the United States? Answer, Obama and Holder and NBC. How is that possible? How could Uruguay be number 27 and the U.S. is like 32? Obama, Holder, and NBC. That's how. Less press freedom. But keep voting for them. Poland, ex-communist nation, 22. You say Poland. What image comes to you when I say Poland? Water, like Poland spring. It's not from Poland. Poland. I don't do Polish jokes. They're nice people. Very noble people. But, you know, the heartbreaking image of Poland is at the outbreak of World War II when the Nazi evil Emperor Hitler invaded Poland with the most mechanized force on earth, with Stuka bombers. These people charged tanks on horses. It was heartbreaking. They still had an officer class that was from the aristocracy. They rode horses. They went into combat against Hitler's tanks on horses. Can you imagine that story? Now, that's a movie to be made. Spielberg should do that one with the help of Harvey Weinstein, because it has all the elements that they could possibly need, which is violence, blood. It's perfect for them. But it would show the nobility of the Polish people standing up to Hitler. Okay, what do you want to talk about in the Savage Nation? I thought that was funny. I mean, maybe you didn't enjoy it. Neil, was that funny or not? It was good. He didn't like it either. I thought it was funny. The dog liked it. The dog's laying here in the studio, Teddy. He would win. This dog, if he was at the... Here's the thing about this kennel... No, come on, turn it off. Here's the thing about the dog show that was running for the last few nights. I think every dog lover in the country was watching it. I know I was. The Westminster Kennel Club. Those hefty women. What is that with the women running around the track, the overweight women? I don't mind the running, but like heifers running around the track there with the dogs. Yanking them. One guy pulled a dog by an ear. That should have disqualified him right away. I couldn't believe the cruelty, but these heifers running around with the sneakers around the track. It looks like they're going to have an attack. Running and hoofing and puffing around the track. No, son, I don't understand. A svelte, couldn't they get it? Okay, I understand she's the trainer. She couldn't hire someone like a model. Like when you go to an auto show, they don't put a heifer on the fender. They put a svelte woman on the fender to sell the car. What's with the Westminster Club with all these heifers from like Utah running around the track looking like they're going to have a stroke? No, anyway, I'm saying, but so you watch the thing. Everyone watching the show thinks that if their dog was in the contest, they would win. Oh, my dog is much better. My Havanese is much nicer than that one. My poodle is better than that one. Right? It's the way it is because you can identify with those shows. But the heifers, I don't know whether to laugh or cry for the women. In fact, they live through the dog and running around the track like that. Something wrong. There's like disconnect, like a perfect, beautiful dog with a completely out of shape woman. All right, whatever. It's just one man's opinion. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Char-Pei probably dates to the Han Dynasty, about 200 B.C. The name literally is translated as sand skin or sandpaper-like coat. This is Chinese Char-Pei, number 15.
Right, right, right. Well, we heard that Monica Lewinsky was seen at the Westminster show heffing it around, and she was running around the track yelling, "Come here, Spot. Come here, Spot."
I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. I never told anybody it's a lie, not a single time, never. These allegations are false, and I need to go back to work for the American people.
Yeah, the American people. See, one thing about Obama is that, I mean, at least we don't have any kind of this kind of scandal around him. Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? You know he's not enriching himself personally. That's one thing. So there's no direct graft. It's like not like May and Nagin. That's number one. Number two, there's no, you know, monkey business around that White House. None that I mean, nothing. There's not even a hint. They're so busy destroying the country to transform it to a Marxist nation. They don't have time for shenanigans. I mean, it's that simple. Play it again, Savage. Casablanca song, As Time Goes By, is ready. Play it again, Savage. Let's hear As Time Goes By. I never liked that movie to begin with. I don't know why people make
it. Remember.
People watch it like it's a big deal over and over again. It's not one of my favorites. I do like Bogart, though, truthfully. He's got a certain charisma. Died a horrible death. Horrible. That smoking, drinking. You know, he's a surgeon's son. I was always amazed that he wasn't like the other, you know, like basically certain types that go into acting. Came from a, you know, upper middle class surgeon's son in Manhattan. He went into acting. He's a classy guy. She does teeth ads now, right, the wife? She was stunning in those days. Doesn't she do ads with the teeth in a glass, whatever her name was? It's terrible. You know, at a certain, you know, if you, let's say you're a great beauty in the movies, and you go, you don't have to do a thing like that. Why do you have to end up doing an ad, like, with no teeth, putting it in a glass, fizzing? What was her name? I don't like looking at them years later. You know, they're beautiful. Age a little bit and get off the stage. Never let me see you again. Please. Please don't drag me through the aging process with you. I don't want to see it. I forget her name. Who was the wife? She was very, very alluring. And then as years went on, I mean, you know, look, time and gravity does it to all of us, myself included. But thank God I'm not in the movies. You don't have to watch me age like that. And what is her name? Does anyone know who I'm talking about? Well, Laura Bacall, is that it? Now, isn't she doing the... Oh, that's Martha something with the teeth in a glass. Did it for a number of years. I can't understand. With the nightstand and teeth come out. Ugh. Terrible. Does anyone use dentures anymore? Those were the days. I mean, those days, that's all I did was dentures. Now it's implants. They use cadaver bones. I remember when I had my tooth implant done about 4 years ago. It was a horrible experience. The dentist lied to me. I said, I don't want a cadaver bone. I want plastic. Okay, I'll give you plastic. After this horrendous experience of it falling out and putting it back in, I found that it was a cadaver bone. So I said, my luck, it probably came from a socialist transvestite from Uruguay. How do you know where the bone came from? Like a cemetery in Uruguay where they buried socialist transvestites. They bought the bones on the cheap. It's the kind of dentist I have. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night, I don't know what to say to myself. I think it's the tooth acting up. I don't know what's talking, me or the tooth. It's the Savage Nation. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Be here, be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. the Savage Nation.
This is a really shocking thing that there's no federal intervention here.
Weekdays, noon till 3.
On Hot Talk 560 KSFO. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
So today I'm issuing an executive order requiring federal contractors to pay their employees a fair wage of at least $10.10 an hour.
All right, welcome to the Savage Nation. We've been having a lot of fun here, eating our hearts out over the imperial presidency. She gets to wear a $12,000 disgusting dress and no one says a word. And he then lectures you 10 seconds later on the 1% and inequality. It's unbelievable. How do you people believe a word of this man? Meanwhile, our press freedom has fallen under him. We're now number 32, like lower than Uruguay under Obama. And that's from a left-wing organization, which is Journalists Without Borders. Your freedoms are being eroded, and they're, you know, let them eat cake kind of thing. President and Mrs. Obama welcome you to the White House. On the occasion of the visit of His Excellency François Hollandaise, President of the ex-French Republic, now the Socialist States of France, elegant state dinner. $12,000 dress should be enough for you. Then a 2,500-calorie dinner, and she lectures everybody about her garden. You know, Michelle's garden. I mean, when does she tend to that garden? In between the visits and the travels, who tends the garden for her? She has over 70 personal assistants around her. $12,000 dress. And we're told about the 1%. And tells you to eat the carrots. Meanwhile, they're dining on beef, caviar, and whatever. You can only laugh at it because you can let it get to you, you're going to get sick. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. 855. Did I do it? Did I do all the numbers? The real important question today that we've been covering, for those of you who don't want to just a laugh-a-thon here, is should felons be able to vote, because your attorney general wants as many felons to vote as possible to hang on to the socialist regime as long as possible. Holder says state laws that bar felons from voting are too unjust to tolerate. Now, before we take your calls on this, remember that 30% of all prisoners in America are illegal aliens. So now you want 30% of the illegal aliens who are illegal, 30% of the prisoners now to be able to vote? Maybe you can next say they should vote in prison. Maybe you can then say that it's unfair that they don't have a right to have a carry weapons when they come out of prison. Why should they lose the Second Amendment right? I mean, what's next from this troika? Let's take the calls. Charles on WJR in Detroit, Michigan. Thank you for calling. Your opinion counts. Charles, go ahead, please.
Hey, I would like to just kind of comment and ask a couple questions on the whole topic. Also, I appreciate you taking my phone call, by the way. I listen to you whenever I can. I'm 33. I am a convicted felon. I'm also a conservative, which kind of goes against the grain.
No, it is. I don't think you're the only felon who's a conservative. If you'd ask liberals, they say 98% of felons are conservative. But go ahead. What were you convicted for?
I had a drug possession charge. I got addicted to pain pills. Through normal everyday activity, I played rugby for a long time, got hurt, started taking pills for the pain. Well,
there are people in talk radio who are in the same position. I don't find that to be a great crime. I mean, you got addicted to pain pills. Why is that a crime to begin with? You weren't dealing the drugs, were you?
No, I was not. I was buying them. I was buying a lot of them, actually.
Right, so you're opening up a can of worms now. Of course a man like you shouldn't lose his right to vote. But which felonious crimes should be excluded from the loss of a right to vote, I think, is the next issue. I don't think it should be a blanket statement that all ex-felons should get the right to vote. How about categorizing them according to severity of crime?
Oh, absolutely. If you're a rapist or a murderer or, you know, a whole slew of other possible felons that are more severe. Like, to be honest, I did a year in prison because of it. You know, I've got a six-digit number that follows my name. Fortunately, it's been April 5th, 2006. I've been clean since that date.
You make a very good case for us to discuss, which is not all felons are equal. That's number one. You say felons, ex-felons. Not all felons are equal. And so, therefore, I think that we need to have this discussion. I was, at the beginning of the show, I was not clear on this anyway. I didn't come out say they shouldn't be able to vote. Because I felt, look, many people listening to the show could wind up a felon under this government, in this government. With this group running the country, who knows who'll be a felon tomorrow, am I right?
Well, they I think I've read somewhere, and please don't hold me to this, but I think that says every person every day commits at least one felony.
Under Obama? Every time you make a phone call, you're a felon.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I'm a devout conservative. I don't tie myself to one political party, but I'm a God-fearing man. And
well, there's your crime right there. See, now you're on the wanted list for Eric Holder. Charles, you should vote. We give you the vote. So let's see. Michelle Obama tells you to eat vegetables, carrots. Don't eat the fries. Let's see what they ate there. Caviar, steak, and chocolate malted cake. Really? How do you feel about that? How do you feel about that? All fat, 2,500 calories, 153 grams of fat. That's the best Michelle could do. That's at least twice the most fat, the fat most adults should consume in an entire day. And by the way, also for your listening pleasure, all of you good liberal liars out there, the first lady tweeted a picture of her dogs, one wearing a jeweled necklace sitting at an ornate table with a tablecloth. And she wrote, Bon Appetit, B-O-N-E, Appetit. Isn't that great? Isn't that nice to see that she's so anti-1%? How do you take this hypocrisy? I take it with a grain of salt. That's all. How do you feel about Michelle's dress? I mean, you know it's an outrage. It's a crime against decency for her to wear a $12,000 dress. That's number one. Why couldn't she just wear a simple, dignified dress? Let's say she had a designer dress. She's the first lady, after all. Why must it be so garish? By the way, it was comedic in its awkwardness. And I'm being polite right now because it's a family show. Michelle's dress was comedic in its awkwardness. I mean, I can do the PhD talk, too, if I want. I don't always have to sound like a longshoreman from the 1950s in on the waterfront. And I do go to the museum and look at the women's couture because I'm very interested in it. This is, I would say, ranked about the equivalent of press freedom in Eritrea in terms of rankings of nations and press freedom. This dress, whoever this designer was, forget about it. Where'd they get this designer from? It was bad enough the years we had to put up with Oscar de la Renta. This is below that. John on WABC, welcome to the Savage Nation. Your opinion on Michelle's dress.
Hey, Michael, how are you? First-time caller. I was listening to an earlier talk show host. I'm not going to mention his name, but this came up in the fact that why does this president get respect? He's not treated presidential. This is all part of that. The bottom line is, he hangs out with entertainers. He thinks he's an entertainer. He's just excited to be our president. He is not presidential. So they think that they're just having a party. He's not running a country. He's not
elected. But let's put aside the fact that we know he's not up to the job. Everyone knows that by now, including his liberal base. Let's focus on Michelle lecturing everybody about eating vegetables and they eat fat. Him lecturing us on the 1% and et cetera. Well, what do you feel about the dress design, per se? Just from a couture point of view.
I did not see the dress. So it just affected us.
Then I'll give you my opinion. So you didn't see it? Go look at it. It's on the Drudge Report, I think. We have a picture of it on the Drudge. We have it on the Savage Nation. Ex-New Orleans Mayor Nagin guilty of corruption. You see those Corvettes that were swallowed by a sinkhole under the Corvette Museum? That's horrible. Sid Caesar died age 91. That's another story. He was a very funny man. I never liked him personally. I used to get a migraine when he came on the air, but he was well known for his your show of shows. Every time I saw Sid Caesar and Imogene Coca, I got a migraine. That had put me in a dark room by myself. I don't know, though. There's certain faces of people that get me, kind of throw me off. Sid Caesar had a face that did that to me. I never found this man funny. Phil Silvers was funny. Milton Berle was funny. The dress was funny. The tennis balls where the woman's thing, that was funny. Jerry Lewis was funny. Sid Caesar was not funny. There was something about him that was like, I don't know, just a migraine immediately. Imogene Coca, I didn't know there was something weird about her altogether. That goes back 200 years. Nobody knows who they are. Now I'm really reaching for the older demographic here. It's like 80 and above. They're going to get, yeah, Mike, I remember that Sid Caesar. Yes, indeed, he was a young 60-year-old at the time. What about vintage vets swallowed by sinkhole on the museum? How does that happen in Kentucky? Is that from the coal mines? The National Corvette Museum in Bowling Green, Kentucky, is such a metaphor of Corvettes being sucked into a sinkhole. I mean, you want me to go into GM, Obama, and the bailout? Eight cars have been swallowed in a sinkhole that opened up inside its facility Wednesday morning, National Corvette Museum. Unbelievable. Bowling Green. Bowling Green, Kentucky. Is it from all of the underground digging and all of that? What would cause a sinkhole? I know in Pittsburgh they have sinkholes because of the coal mines. It weakened the infrastructure of the earth in the area. But what about this? I mean, this is crazy. How does a sinkhole appear in Kentucky? Does anyone from Kentucky could tell me where the sinkholes come from? There must be a reason for it. We can't blame that on Obama. I mean, come on, cut it out. I mean, there's a limit to how much you can blame Obama for. He didn't cause the Corvettes to fall into the ground. Okay, you can see the metaphor, right? Corvette Museum, ground falls out from under it, and the cars fall into the sinkhole. Okay, we get the picture. It's an easy metaphor. We don't even use it. Kennedy cousin Skakel granted request to relocate GPS device to fit a ski boot. I swear to God. Remember the guy who was put in jail for 20 years for killing his girlfriend with a golf club? Another member of the Kennedy family? So he said his lying lawyers said that he needed they needed to move his GPS tracking device off his ankle to attend his son's ski competition. So they moved it to another part of his body so he can ski next to his son and avoid getting asthma. By walking up the hill, because see, the foot didn't fit into the ski boot. Skakel, the 53-year-old nephew of Robert F. Kennedy's widow Ethel, been in prison for 11 years and sentenced to 20 years to life. Blah, blah, blah. Skankel's attorneys wrote, the defendant would like to be able to provide his son with the proper parental support and coaching during these competitions without inducing another asthma attack or a more serious condition. That's Skankel's lawyer. Can you believe this? This is right out of The Sopranos. I mean, I wish the show was still on the air. They would put this right into the thing. I'll be right back. It is already time to go? Okay, I'll be right back, right here on The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts. Hot Talk 560, KSFO.
407-282. Now, I want to ask you something. The felon thing. Did you hear that your attorney general wants to give felons a right to vote? Play a different one of him wanting them to vote. This is an obvious one.
I call upon state leaders and other elected officials across this country to pass clear and consistent reforms to restore the voting rights of all who have served their terms in prison or jail, completed their parole or probation, and paid their fines.
Now, do you know what case your attorney general is basing this upon? Farrakhan versus Gregoire. So he's working hand in glove with Louis Farrakhan to make sure that ex-felons can vote. So you want to know where Obama's private army may come from? Better funded than the U.S. military? Better equipped than the U.S. military that we were warned about in 2007? I think you could pretty much put two and two together. I see the circle closing. So are you in favor of having ex-felons vote? There's two sides to this story. One side says, we let ex-convicts marry, reproduce, buy beer, own property, and drive. They don't lose their freedom of religion, their right against self-incrimination, or their right not to have soldiers quartered in their homes in time of war. But in many places, the assumption is that they can't be trusted to help choose our leaders. If we thought criminals could never be reformed, we wouldn't let them out of prison in the first place, says Steve Chapman, editorial writer at the Chicago Tribune. On the other side, Roger Clegg, general counsel of the Center for Equal Opportunity, says, we don't let children vote, for instance, or non-citizens, or the mentally incompetent. Why? Because we don't trust them in their judgment. So the question is, do criminals belong in that category? And I think the answer is clearly yes. People who commit serious crimes have shown that they are not trustworthy. Okay, so Louis Farrakhan says the white race should disappear from his nation, live off the face of the earth. The same day, your attorney general, another African-American gentleman named Eric Holder, says that all felons should be permitted to vote. The very same day, your president, the first black president, Barack Obama, has a shindig in the White House that costs $500,000. His wife buys a dress for $12,000, and not a word is said by the drug addicts at NBC. Not a word. Not one word from the drug addicts at NBC News. Not one word. Pat Nixon wore anything but a wool dress. They went insane. So if you look at what I mean by liberal, we're not talking about liberals anymore. We're talking about fanatic, drug-addicted, psychotic. I can't build it up. There's not much more I could say. How do you believe a word these people say? And so what is my job here on the radio? What is my job? Think about it. What is my job? One is to be a watchdog for you, not a lapdog of them. My job is to say, wait a minute, you can't do this and get away with it. Here in the Bay Area, for example, Willie Brown, a man with clouds over his head ever since he was a politician in Sacramento. They just named a bridge span for him that cost billions of dollars. It ran God knows how many times over cost estimates. The bridge is rusting. The new screws in the bridge are emitting a brown rust, and the bridge is named for Willie Brown. Think about the fitting symbolism of this. A bridge rotting before it's almost even finished. Named for a questionable member of the Democrat machine here in the state of California. Think about this. Think about it. The next time you go into a voting booth, the level of corruption in San Francisco is the worst in the nation, and yet there's never been an arrest in 30 years. They own this town from lock to stock to barrel. They own it. Mayor Nagin in New Orleans was just indicted today for corruption. Mayor Nagin, remember him? The big screaming about racism and Katrina and Bush. He had his hand out. He was stuffing his pockets. And the feds got him on corruption. There's not been a corruption arrest in San Francisco in 35 to 40 years. How is that possible? What's the difference between New Orleans and San Francisco? Is there no federal presence here? Does anyone not look at these things, a bridge that costs this much money that's falling apart? No one looks into these things? The highway contracts for the new tunnel coming out of the Golden Gate Bridge, who got those contracts? Are they related in any way to any politicians? Ask the questions. You'll get the answers, but no one's even asking the questions. Here's some good news. Remember years ago in 2009 how incensed I became over the false conviction of Army Ranger Lieutenant Michael Behena, an American hero? This happened under Bush. This is when I stopped liking Bush. This is when I warned you Bush was not who you thought he was. This is when I warned you Bush would wreck America. This is when I started telling you that Bush might be a fiscal... Hey, time is...
Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
I've got to get this food story, and I've been holding it because I want to warn you. Safe levels of neurotoxin found in seafood may cause kidney damage. Listen to this study. A chemical commonly found in seafood, mainly hard-shelled seafood, okay, let's be clear, mussels, clams, and scallops, may lead to kidney damage, even at levels that were once considered safe for human consumption, a new study in mice has revealed. So you say, well, I'm not a mouse. Listen carefully. Don't be a lunkhead. In light of these new findings, researchers are calling for more regulation of the neurotoxin, the moic acid. I thought it was Obama acid. Obamic acid. I was hoping somehow to tie it to the presidency, but I couldn't. The moic acid is now at a higher level in mussels, clams, and scallops. And it's produced by algae in the world's oceans, and the moic acid is a natural toxin that happens to accumulate in bottom feeders such as mussels, clams, and scallops. But it's changed. Why? The levels are higher. How do they know it's becoming a problem? Well, it's showing up more frequently in larger sea creatures such as fish and even dolphins. In fact, have you seen the sea lion deaths that are occurring? Well, it turns out that biomarkers that are used to find out why the sea lions are dying, they're finding markers for domoic acid. The amount of this toxin is higher in their red blood cells. And as you know, sea lions, amongst other things, eat hard shell clams, mussels, and scallops. And although it's been known that this toxin damages the brain, it's been found out that because the kidney has to filter it, the damage to the kidneys is occurring much faster than thought. I'm going to give you one last piece of data. The FDA set the limit of domoic acid that can be consumed by humans at 20 parts per million. Okay, just remember the number, 20 parts per million. But the government now says that below this, it doesn't cause any neurological effects. That's true in the brain. What you don't hear, though, is that the kidney is affected at 100 times lower than this concentration. Your kidneys are extremely sensitive. You ever woken up with lower back pain after you've eaten shellfish? Have you recently been awakening with lower back pain from some foods? I have. It's amazing. I couldn't put two and two together. I couldn't understand why. I stopped eating seafood from China months ago. I won't touch the poison. I insist that I find out where the food comes from. I don't eat it anymore. I used to love calamari. I won't touch it. Unless I know it's from Monterey Bay, I won't touch it. It's poison. I will not eat it. Because every time I ate it, the next day my lower back would hurt. I know it was kidney pain. No one has to tell me. I don't need a genius to analyze it and tell me it's your kidneys. I can feel it. Well, we don't have our own. At a certain age, what, you can't be your own doctor and figure out what's wrong and what's affecting you? If you can't, then you're not going to live too long. Well, let me explain why I'm going off on this hard shell stuff and low levels of toxins that you can pick up on your own. Because I have the same capacity to pick up the toxins in our social order, our society rather, that the scientists can pick up with high-resolution equipment. I am very sensitive to the buildup of the neurotoxins being put out by our society. And that's why I am trying to warn you on a daily basis what is being put out into your mind, whether it be from the presidency, from Nancy Pelosi, from the Democrat establishment. Wherever you turn, they're putting out neurotoxins that are literally killing us. That's my opinion. Everything goes back to that at the end of the day. So I'm warning you, if you have chronic kidney disease, you have very young children, you're elderly, you may be more sensitive to domoic acid than healthy people. So be cautious in regard to seafood consumption. Even if you love this stuff, be cautious and don't say I didn't warn you. I know many people are going to get angry at me because they're in the seafood business. And I used to enjoy all of this stuff. Loved it. Oh, I used to eat mussels marinara. I don't eat it anymore. I won't do it. Mulberry Street, the Zupa. Slurping it down, ruining shirt after shirt. From head to toe, covered in the sauce. I can't do it anymore. That's all. And you have to understand they're bottom feeders. They suck up the silt at the bottom. It's not 500 years ago in the Bay of Naples Bay where there were no toxins in the bay. Okay, you know, maybe they were healthful then when the bays were clean, but it's a long way from Naples Bay. Try to get them out of a clean estuary here in America. See if you can find one. So I've told you enough about toxins that are killing Americans in the mind and the body. 855-407-282. There are other stories. I love the Westminster Kennel Show, and I just love all dogs. Either you're a dog lover or you're not. I happen to find them amazing. You know, once you live with a dog long enough, you come to understand there's some kind of spirit in there other than just an animal. But if you live in Denmark, I guess you don't see the spirit or the soul, if you want to put it that way. What you see is just an animal. So if it's an extra animal like a giraffe that's beloved, you shoot it, and then you chop it up in front of the children in the zoo and throw the meat to the lions. That's what happens with humanism. That's what happens with medical marijuana. That's what happens with drugs. That's what happens with a degenerate society that's lost its Christian base. It loses all of its compassion. Frankly, it loses its mind and its soul and its heart. And I see that in a fly's eye. As a former biologist, I saw it in the complex eye of a fly that I saw in high school. I was amazed at God's handiwork. Call it evolution. I can call it God. It doesn't matter what you call it. Just look at the compound eye of a fly. And you'll understand what I'm talking about, the miracle of life. And I believe in the miracle of equality as well, because not only are not all dogs created equal, you may love them all, but the species are different. You're not going to tell me that my 10-pound poodle is the same as a Rottweiler. No, in many ways, they're as different as you can get. The Rottweiler could eat him for breakfast, couldn't he? And so forth. I mean, the wolfhound can run faster than other dogs. And yet, they're all members of the same species. They're all members of the same species. They're not different species. They're all different, though. There's diversity in the dog kingdom. Well, there's diversity in the human kingdom as well. We're all members of the same exact species. Yet, we're all different. Some have strengths in areas and weaknesses in others. Some have great strengths in some areas and great weaknesses in others. We're not all equal. The communists and Marxists said that we were all equal, and they wanted outcome equality. And so if you put dummies in the same classroom as geniuses, and the genius continues to get higher grades, you call them names. And then you put the dummy ahead of the genius and tell the genius he's no good for doing so well in school. And what you wind up with is everyone failing. the whole system falls apart. That's what happened in every communist experiment in the history of the world. And that's why we're living in such sad times, because we have leadership that knows better. Leadership, whether it be de Blasio in New York talking about inequality. It's unbelievable. Listen to him in clip two. It's right out of Animal Farm. Clip two on the Savage Nation.
With an inequality gap that fundamentally threatens our future. It must not, and it will not, be ignored by your city government.
Okay, Animal Farm, Marxism. Then, of course, there's the usual suspects like Jackson coming out again demanding, again a shakedown on affirmative action and compliance. It's all the same. It's the death of a society. There's a limit to how much you can take of this filth and these lies. There's a limit to it. And if I'm standing up for it and putting my career on the line, then you do it. What do you think? This is without risk? You don't think these race-hating SOBs haven't tried to throw me off the air? You don't think when I stood up to the Hispanic mobs when I was a local host because I talked against the so-called dreamers? I said, what do you mean you're a dreamer? I'm a dreamer, too. I'm an immigrant son. What do you mean? You have a right because you broke it into my country to something? Well, they protested the station. There's a risk, you see, for standing up and speaking out. There's a real inequality gap between truth and lies, by the way. And unless you start speaking the truth to power, you're going to have nothing. You'll wind up with a ring in your nose. Your mind is already in an iron lung. You want your body in an iron lung? So in order to counter these lies, I'm going to put something out that I wrote December 15th, 1999, called White Male Inventions. It's a straight-out fact. It's unemotional. It's a list of inventions and who invented them. And I'll let you react to it any way you'd like. It's going to be uncomfortable for some of you, but you have to face the fact that trains, planes, cars, rockets, telescopes, tires, telephones, radios, television, electricity, atomic energy, computers, and fax machines are all miracles made possible by the minds and spirits of men with names like Ampere, Bell, Casselli, Edison, Ohm, Faraday, Einstein, Cohen, Teller, Shockley, Hertz, Marconi, Morse, Popov, Ford, Volta, Michelin, Dunlop, Watt, Diesel, Galileo, and other dead white males. And many of you on the radical left don't understand what I'm about to say, because it's tantamount to blasphemy in this politically insane day and age. But truth is truth, my friends. How long are we going to ignore this? How are we going to ignore this? How much longer can we ignore it? How much longer can we listen to these gangsters who keep screaming about inequality, which is just a code word for taking from those who earn and giving to those who don't work or don't want to work? Well, that's the American way, isn't it? Isn't that always been the American way? It's been that way since the communists took over the country and twisted everything and made you feel guilty for being a hard worker and intelligent. Now, I believe water seeks its own level, by the way. I had my life put on hold by the ACLU many years ago. I'm not complaining about it anymore. It was the worst mistake they ever made by shafting me. Otherwise, I would have been just another lame-brained professor at one of America's universities. I would have been long retired and no one would hear of me. But because they cauterized me in the cauldron of hatred, I became a much tougher, stronger, wiser man. And I wound up on the radio. And instead of retiring 20 years ago, I've been firing the truth out at the people all of these 20 years, all because of affirmative action. So thank you very much, social engineers. You have tried to suppress me, gag me, blind me, marginalize me, but it didn't work, did it? In fact, I'm bigger and stronger than I've ever been. Not because of you, but in spite of you. Because once the gangsters got rich on affirmative action. Now remember something, there's a profession called civil rights. It's a profession. It's an entire field of endeavor. And many have gotten very rich on the civil rights field. And they're not going to suddenly stop because you don't want them to cash in on it anymore. They're going to keep going. Same with global warming. We know it's a fraud. 95% of global warming models are wrong. 95% of the climate models used by government agencies to create policies have failed miserably, according to former NASA scientist Dr. Roy Spencer. 95% of these models that the government uses to prove that there's a climate change are completely wrong. But it will not stop the climate gangsters from repeating their lies nor pushing their doxy. It will, just as it won't stop the affirmative action gangsters from pushing their doxy. That's the narrative. Look how far Holder has gotten on that narrative. Look how far Obama's gotten on that narrative about the oppressed minority. So you think they're going to stop because we all know it's BS? They never stop. It's up to you to stop them by never voting for them again. That's all there is to it. And that you have to educate yourself and stand up to them. And I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
855-407-282 is my phone number. It's the Savage Nation. Michelle wears a Marie Antoinette dress, perhaps the most ungainly dress in the history of a first lady, that cost only $12,000, so that moments later Obama can talk about the 1% and how bad the poor have it in the country. $12,000 dress. Now, when Nixon was in power, I think when Pat bought a dress that cost $14 at Kresge's, the liberal media went crazy. This is frightening. How do you feel about Al Sharpton? Well, what shall I say to you? Do you think Al Sharpton got where he is because of his genius? All right, here are the news headlines from MichaelSavage.com. I know you've been waiting for this all day. Well, let's start with all the sound that you may or may not have heard yet. Your Attorney General, Eric Holder, says that we must permit felons to vote. That's right. He said it's disenfranchising for felons to not vote. He said they must vote. I wonder if that's to increase the voter base of the Democrat machine, you think? John Kerry gave a speech in French to the French President Hollande. Well, we'll translate that for you at another time. Here in the San Francisco Bay Area, the new Bay Bridge span was aptly named Brown for ex-State Assembly President Willie Brown because there's brown rust forming on the bolts. Aptly named. Sometimes life imitates art or art imitates life. It will be known as the Brown Span. Representative Peter King, becoming odder and odder by the day, praises Boehner's debt ceiling stance, calls Ted Cruz a moron for wanting to constrain government. Michelle Obama went Marie Antoinette. She wore a $12,000 dress so that Obama today could bash the rich and the 1%. How many homeless were in that state dinner? That's sickening. Why do you believe a word of this? Why do you believe a word that this man says? Huh? Representative Boehner sings zippity-doo-dah after announcing a debt ceiling deal, I swear. We got to play that again right here. Boehner singing zippity-doo-dah after announcing the debt ceiling deal. He is really a zany, isn't he?
Zippity-doo-dah. What a wonderful day.
Boehner, what are you on? Is it scotch? Is it rum? Is it rye? Is it gin? Is it a combo deal with Zoloft? What in the world are you on, sir? A new survey says that the United States press freedom has plunged under Obama to 46th in the world after Romania. Thank you, liberals. I always knew you were the fascists we all feared. If you missed the questions that Bill O'Reilly didn't ask Obama, you can only find them in one place, on MichaelSavage.com. By the way, Obama says that the 8 million uninsured Hispanics are eligible for health coverage. Now you understand what it's all about. He wants to give Obamacare to all of Mexico so you can pay for it, you moron. You stupid, stupid people. Dumb people, dumb people, dumb. Dumb, dumb, dumb and dumber. Dumb, dumb Democrats. Morons. 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 You're being robbed blind, you idiots. And you love it, don't you? A front runner who will lead the North Carolina Democrat Party as a Nation of Islam member. Oh, how many Jewish people will vote for him?
You know what? I'd rather have him. I'd rather have him than some Christian with a cross.
I'm just mocking an imaginary individual. Vast study now casts doubt on the value of mammograms. The death rates were the same, and the screening harms women, which I've known for 40 years and wrote about 40 years ago. Mammograms are expensive. It's a racket. Period. End of story. You've heard the rest of the news, haven't you? A top feminist icon in England defends female genital mutilation. She says opposition to female genital mutilation is an attack on cultural identity. Didn't I always tell you that the old line feminists were the fascists of our time? They're now lining up with Islamo-fascists. So shall we call them Islamo-femo-fascists? You get the picture. You don't want to hear anymore. I don't blame you. Well, that's it for the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. Gotta go. Bye.
Savage.